Okay, we're up to pasuk yedzayin. Okay, pasuk yedzayin. This is very heavy duty stuff. Parash nitzavim pasuk yedzayin. Pen yesh b'chem ish o isha o mishpacha o shevet. We have 4 different items: a man, a woman, a family, or a shevet, a whole shevet. Asher levavoy foy nehayoy me'im Hashem elokein, whose heart. The word foine means turns away, it turns astray. It turns away from Hashem Elokeinu, leleches lavoid, to go and to serve, es Elohei ha-goyim ho-heim, the gods of these nations. Now, the pasuk you would think would stop right there. This is very interesting. The pasuk does not stop here. The pasuk continues and it goes further. One long run-on sentence, pen, maybe. Yesh b'chem shoresh, poire, roish v'la'ana. Now, what does that mean? It simply means, shoresh means, we're going to see, it simply means, shoresh means a root, right? It's a root. But here it means a root, that's poire. Poire means to grow. Roish v'la'ana, roish v'la'ana are bitter herbs. Maybe there's someone here who has a mashahu, has a molecule of evil that will develop into Rosh Vila'ana. Okay, these are very powerful secrets of the Torah being revealed to us here in this pasuk. It's a very long pasuk and there's a lot going on. Let's first see the Rashi. Rashi, if you notice, we always go like in a cycle. We do the Rashi, the Targum, and then we come back and we do the Rashi a second time. Rashi, pasuk yedzayin, pen yesh bochem, the reason why this pasuk is coming to give a reason, the reason why in the previous pasukim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making a bris and a shvua. That was the whole section. That was everything we learned until now. You are standing before Hashem. And Hashem is going to le'avrcha demand of you that you enter into a covenant le'avrcha bevris Hashem elokecha uve'olosoi. The reason why Hashem is asking you to enter into this covenant is because there might be someone here that has a problem, and therefore the shavua is going to prevent what is about to happen in this pasuk. This pasuk would happen if not for the fact that there is a shavua. So the shavua is the antidote that this should not happen. Otherwise, it would happen. This is the natural occurrence. Remember, it says in the Torah, in the beginning of Ma'aseh Bereishis, Ki yetzer leiv ha'adam ra minu'uraf. Okay, that's a very challenging idea, that a person is naturally evil. The Yetzer Lev HaAdam, the Yetzer, the desire of the heart of man is Ra, is evil, Minu'urav, from his youth. It almost sounds like that's the default. And the default, and you have to work on preventing that Ra from sprouting and growing and overtaking you. It's exactly what it says over here. Here it says the reason why you have to go and demand that you take a shvua and you enter into a bris is because if you do not do so, this is what's going to happen. Lefichach ani tzarech lehashpiachem. Now Rashi goes back to explain, pen yesh bochem, shema, maybe, it's not a guarantee, yesh bochem, a person, an ish, or isha, oy mishpacha, oy shevet, 4 different categories. The Torah has to go specify 4 different categories. That's a very significant thing. A man, a woman, a family, or a shevet. Asher levavoy fayne hayoyim milkabel olav habris, does not want to accept the bris. Rashi over here is teaching us over here a lot of very powerful yisoides. It seems that the shavua from Rashi's language, he's telling us something which is not obvious and in fact very surprising. We ready for the last 2 days. We kept them going back and forth with this idea that there are 2 items. There's a bris. And there's a shavua. And I kept on playing with the idea there's really 3 things. There's a neder, there's a shavua, and there's a bris. What's the difference between a person who makes a neder, a person who takes a shvua, and a person who enters into a bris? What's the difference between all of the three? And then we said, the pasuk here says there's a bris, and there's an ola. And we really had two different translations for the word Allah. Either it means a shavua, and that's how Rashi, that it seems how Rashi and the Targum certainly, Uncle certainly translates what Allah as a shavua. But we also said maybe it means a curse. So we're not going to, it seems that we're going to, Rashi seems to disagree. Rashi says, since the previous lefichach anitzorech lashbiachem, I have to demand that you take a shavua. And then Rashi says, milikabel olav habris. So it would seem that the Shavua is an oath that we should be true or not true, we should accept upon ourselves the bris. What does that mean exactly? I thought a bris is an independent acceptance. Three things. You accept the bris, you enter into a covenant. Bris, or you take a shavua, or you make a vow. It seems not. It seems from the words of Rashi, the purpose of the shavua is that you accept upon yourself the bris. There's a bris, and if you want, you can accept the bris. If you want, you will not accept upon yourself the bris. I demand that you take a shavua, you take an oath. And it seems that an oath is something which you don't have a choice. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the ability to put an oath upon you, lehashpiachem, to almost force you to take the oath that you will enter into this covenant. How does all of that work? I don't know. I'm just saying words. But if you read the words, that's what it sounds like. The Shavua is so that you enter into the covenant. So we go back to the psukim that we learned yesterday, the day before, and we learned about in Pasuk Yud Gimel V'loy Itchem Levach Manochi Kares Es Habris Hazois V'es Ha'olah Hazois. It's not only with you am I forging this covenant and this oath. I understood it to be two separate things. Rashi clearly says no. The Olah, the oath, is so that we accept the bris. The goal is the bris. But the bris needs chizuk. The bris needs us to accept upon ourselves an oath before we can get into the bris. That's what Rashi says. Pen yesh b'chem lefichach ani tzarech lahashviachem. I have to put upon you the oath because there may be a person amongst you who is rotten, an ish, isha, mishpacha, yeshevet, asher levavoy fa nehayom im Hashem lokein, whose heart turns away from Hashem. And Rashi says, milakabel olav habris. And does not want to accept the bris. So the shavua is going to force you to accept the bris. Wow! That's something that I would never conclude. If I read this pasuk 1,000 times, I would never come to that conclusion. That's what the pasuk means. But Rashi is saying that's what it means. Then it goes on, what will be the difficulty? What's the difficulty with this person? And now the pasuk repeats itself. That's the run-on sentence of this pasuk. Pen yesh b'chem. Maybe there's someone, shayresh, who has in him a root that is poire, that is blossoming into bitter herbs, like moror on Pesach, shoresh, poire roish vila'ana. So Rashi carefully explains, shoresh, a root, migadel. Rashi has just translated the word poire. Poire comes from the word piria urivia, or in yeshivish terms, piria urivia. Piria, they always taught me in yeshiva to pronounce it Piria Verivia. But I had once in my shir someone who would correct my reading of the Gemara as if I was laning. If I would say the word with a shvanach, a shvanah, instead of in the Gemara, I'm talking about the Gemara, he would correct me. So I'm very happy he did because he taught me a lot of things in the process. And he taught me that there's no such term called Piria Verivia, even though only about probably a million people say Piria Verivia. He said it's clearly wrong. It's Piria Urivia. The correct way to pronounce the term is Piria Urivia, to multiply and be fruitful. Not Piria Verivia, fine. But over here it says Pore. The word Pore comes from the word Piria or Piria, which means to blossom, to be fruitful, Peros. So here he translates the word megadel, esev mar, a bitter herb, esev. It took me a long time to learn that you don't pronounce the H, herb, not herb. I once had a guy in the shul, his name was Herb. His name was Herbie. So I used to always call him Herbie. You're not supposed to pronounce the H, right? An herb, you don't say herb, you pronounce herb. So his name was Herbie. I called him Herbie. It's like you tell someone, where do you live? I live between J and K. J as in Jose, and K as in knowledge. Try to say that to the telemarketer. I live between J and K, between Jose and knowledge. Try to confuse them. So here we have Sheresh. Tell that to Herbie. Tell that to the telemarketer. What's your name, telemarketer? My name is Herbie. You mean Herbie. An Esev is an herb, a grass. Sheresh, a root that's Megadel. So the word Megadel means priya, to grow, to blossom. Esev mar, a bitter grass. Kigidin. Now, what a gidin? Gidin, now I don't know what he means here. Gidin ordinarily means sinews. Sinews is a part of the human body, a human being. But it says here that this, it appears that an esev mar kigidin shehem morim, which are bitter. Now, I really don't know what this Rashi means. Does Rashi here mean to say that the word gidin means sinews in a human being? In the Gemara, every time you have the word gidin, it only means a human being. The gid hanoshe. Al kein lo yoichal b'nei Yisrael, it's gid hanoshe. What's the gid hanoshe? Sinew. It's like a muscle. It's a cord, I guess. I guess it's a muscle, right? Is that what a sinew is? It's a muscle. It's some type of nerve or muscle. And there's a machlekes in the Gemara if gidin have flavor. Do they have flavor, or is it considered to be a piece of wood? Here he says gidin is bitter. It's morim. So I'm assuming here the word gidin in this context does not refer to the sinews, the muscles in the body. It refers to some type of herb that indeed is called gidin. And these gidin are indeed very bitter. And here we have two examples, which Rashi is very cleverly ignoring. Rashi, here in his translation, he does not say anything about Rosh Vilana. Doesn't tell us what they are. He doesn't give us old French words to tell us what they are. He totally ignores what these things are and just says it's like a grass that is bitter, like Gidin, and doesn't even tell us what Gidin are, which are bitter, period. And then he says the magic word, Kloimar. Whenever Rashi says the word Kloimar, you know you are in a lot of trouble. Kloimar always is like a big... My Rebbe told us, we always come back to this. Kloimar in Rashi is a massively large stop sign. You come to a complete stop and look in every direction. And if you don't come to a complete stop, you fail your driving exam. Probably the last time a person here ever stopped, came to a complete stop in New York City at a stop sign, was probably when he got his license, he took an exam. After that, you don't go, no one comes to a, unless there's a person standing there. If there's a person standing there, if you know what's good for you, you come to a complete stop. But if there's no one standing there, you roll over, what do they call it? It's a nusach. You graciously slow down and you look and you graciously just roll over, right? Try doing that out of New York City. They'll literally arrest you and put you away. If you don't come to literally a complete stop. When I go to Boston, if I don't come to a complete stop by a stop sign, I'm finished. I get dirty looks. The truth is they stay far away. Anytime they see New York State license plates, in Massachusetts, they know danger. It's like putting a big sign on your car. Out of control, drunken driver. Stay far, far away. New York plates out of town. Also, it's a magnet for police. You drive in 95, I-95, cops see New York plates, they know it's easy money. Easy money. This guy will for sure go speed. Just follow him. Quietly for a mile or two. Easy money. New York City license, driver's license plates. You got to be very careful out of New York City with license plates. You should have license plates from a different state if you know what's good for you. Fine. But over here we have so Kolom is a stop sign. Come to a complete stop. Look both ways. Rashi over here is going to say something that's not literal. It's not in the pasuk. It's based upon tradition. Mafre umar be resha bekirban. Individuals. Now this is a very frightening idea. That's being mafre umarbe, that is multiplying with evil within them. And this is something which is really mind-boggling, because evil, many people who are evil, and we know are evil, you would not say about them, they're mafre umarbe. Most people that we know that are evil, even like people you know that are in the world, Rishoyim out there in the world, that are established to be evil people. When you look at them, what do you say? They're evil. That's who they are. That's what they are. There's something wrong with them. You can psychoanalyze how it happened, but they're just evil people. To say that the evil is mafre umarbe, that today he's more evil than he was yesterday, That's not something you find very often. Go look at politicians who are very evil. Can you really say about them that today they're worse? They developed, their evil got even greater? I don't know. I don't know if you can really say that. People are pretty much consistent. They have ideas in their mind. This is who they are. They're evil, they're evil. There's a consistency in their evil. It's very rare to say about a person that the wickedness is mafre umarbe. It's multiplying. It's out of control. And to say that about a Jew, about a person over here in the Dor HaMidbar, Dor Deya, shocking. It's a shocking expression. Pen Yeshbach, and maybe there's someone here that I know in this audience that's shoyresh. He has a little evil within him. That's mafre. That's multiplying into a bitterness of Roish Velane, and Rashi explains, Koloimar, let me make it clear to you what this means. These are extremely biting and harsh words. Koloimar, Mafre Umarbe, Resha, evil. The evil, see, that's not the literal translation, because Rashi started off by saying, Roish Velane is bitter. There's a very big difference between being bitter and being evil. There are many people, unfortunately, have had a very difficult life, and when you speak to them, they're bitter. And you get it. You give them their space. I understand why you're bitter. I don't blame you. I get it. Being bitter is not the same thing as being evil. Evil, there's just a cruelty. There's a pleasure in watching someone suffer, in destroying. It's a different ballgame. So how did Rashi jump from bitterness to evil? The pasuk says, "Pen yeshbachem shoresh." There's a particle that is mafre, that's developing, growing, roish velana, into evil, into kloimar, mafre umarbe. It's mafre umarbe resha bekirba. That's quite a jump. But that's what Rashi says. And I guess the reason why Rashi says this is the context. Because you have to look, we always do come back to this Yisoy. Every single word in the Torah is really a borrowed expression. More often than not, the words are not taken to be literally. We find this again and again and again in Nach and Chumash. Is the words are defined based on the context. And it's almost sometimes impossible to know what's the real meaning of the word, and when is it being borrowed. So here you're taking Roish Velana, which means bitter herbs. Herbs are not evil, and all of a sudden we're using it in reference to a person that is multiplying with evil. So it's being used in the context. Now, to make matters more complex, let us take a look here at the Ungulus Pasuk Yud Zayin. Dilma, maybe. Dilma. Okay, that's an interesting word, Dilma. That's from the Gemara. From the Gemara, Aramaic word. Is b'choin givar, meaning the Targum Pasuk Yud Zayin. There's a givar. Number one is a man. Oy ita, a woman. Oy zari. And that's very interesting. The word that he uses for a family is the word zari. Here in the parish of my Targum, it doesn't really give you any, and he doesn't explain. Okay, there's something to keep in mind that he's calling a family zera, seed. Normally you would assume the word zera means your children. So he's saying over here, mishpacha, maybe he means to say, means your descendants. Oy shifta, then he says a tribe, okay, a whole tribe. Dilibei, whose heart, pini yoyma dein, who is turning on this day. Now here, the Targum does something which has caught the attention of the commentators. Midach lisa. The word midach lisa means from fearing. The Hashem Elokano. As we always mention, the Targum very rarely adds words into the Pasuk. The Targum teaches us chidushim by selecting unique words to translate the Pasuk. He takes one word in the Pasuk, has at his disposal the Oxford thesaurus, and it can translate, can give us one of 10 words. And the fact that he selected this particular word and not another 10 candidates, that itself is a limud, that's a teaching. But for the Targum Unkelis to go out of his way and to inject a word into the Pasuk that it does not say is not his style. And here he has broken his own rule by adding a word that does not appear in the Pasuk. All it says is, "Pan yeshchem ish o yisha o mishpacha shevet asher levavoy yifarnei hayom, whose heart turns today me'im from Hashem Elokeinu." Now, what would that mean? What would that mean in our minds? Before we look at the Targum, it would mean that you're a non-believer, an atheist. Until now, I was in yeshiva and they taught me Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And then a person can say, you know what, I don't believe, I don't feel anything, I don't believe, I'm a non-believer. Some shagas gets into his head, he doesn't believe. He's poine, completely dismisses himself from the existence of God. An atheist, a pagan. Unkelis says it's not a pshat. Almost as if to say that there's no such thing. People who claim, you know, there are surveys, and they tell you, fill out, what are you? Are you Jewish? Are you a Christian? What religion do you identify with? You're a Muslim, a Christian, a Jew, a Buddhist, this, that. Are you an atheist? And dime a dozen, they check off atheist. And what do they do the next morning? They wake up, I always tell you, they wake up the next morning, 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the morning. First thing they do is, they say, thank you, Hashem, for making me an atheist. Baruch Hashem, make a bracha, b'shem ha-malchus, baruch atah Hashem, v'kini melech olam, that you have made me into an atheist. Okay, in other words, they're not really atheists. People who claim that they don't believe in God are liars. They're liars. It's just not true. Most people who tell you they're atheists have more yiras shemayim than some charedim shuckling away. The people who claim they're atheists, they're so afraid of Hashem, they have such a pachad of the Ribbono Shel Olam, they can't deal with it. So they turn off. You know, everyone has something very different in their neshama. Talk about, you know, look, you see what you see. It's such a revelation with Corona, with people's reaction. It's just, everyone tells you the same thing. It's mind-boggling how every single person has such a different reaction, such a different approach to the sakana. Some people, they sit at home. They don't walk out into the street. They sit at home with a shield, a welder shield, and a mask, and they tell the delivery people, put the food outside, and they'll put on heavy gloves. It's unbelievable. And there are some people,
It's the biggest joke to them. Mamash, the biggest joke. They walk out into the street, they go dancing, they think everyone's a moron for doing it. And then in between, you have like 100 different madregos. Everyone has a very different reaction. When it comes to Yirat Shamayim, you tell someone, you know, out there in the world, this God, he's all over the place. It's worse than Corona. God is worse than Corona. He's everywhere. He's in the air. It's in the water. God, wherever you turn, there he is. So some people say, no, big deal. Big deal. I can deal with it. You go to Bar Park, go to Lakewood. Big deal. I don't have any problem with it. And some people, they're so afraid. Such a pachad. It's counterproductive. They're so afraid. You know what they do? They claim they're an atheist. They're not. It's because they can't deal with it subconsciously. Many times those people who are the atheists are the biggest believers. And it's just a subconscious reaction to the pachad. So this targum is fascinating. This is off the charts what it says within this targum. Targum, when I read this pasuk in the year 2020, and it says, Pen yeshbucha mishbucha shev l'ashel levavoy, his heart poin hayom, his heart turns away today, me'im Hashem Elokeinu. A Democrat, they removed this year from the charter of the Democratic National Convention, one nation under God. It's a dirty word. That they removed this for the first time. They removed this from their charter. God is a dirty word. Would you believe it? That's what we're holding today in America. One nation under God. They took out that clause from their agenda is. So they don't believe. That's what you would expect the translation to be, and that's what you'd expect the Targum to say. And yet the Targum says, I got news to tell you, there is no such thing in this world as a human being ignoring the fact that there is a God. The only difference between the Democrats and the Republicans is, do you fear God? Someone who takes out the clause, one nation under God, doesn't mean doesn't believe in God. It's impossible. You can't get it out of your system. You know there's a God. The difference is, I don't fear him. V'lo yorei Elokim. Amalek knew there was a God. Their problem was, v'lo yorei Elokim. They weren't atheists. They knew there's a God. But they convince themselves that they're able to take their destiny into their own hands, and they can dismiss God. There's nothing to be afraid of. Klal Yisrael, the avoda is Chaim sheyesh bohem yirah shamayim. Shivisi Hashem l'negdi samit. The whole tafkid is to have a life of sheyesh bohem. This is the greatest bracha you can possibly get, to be yirah shamayim. So Targum Unkelus here is really an explosively powerful lesson in life. Here we're dealing with some very serious stuff. Whose heart turns away today, if you ask anyone on the street what this pasuk means, they'll say it means he's an atheist. He turns away from God. Couldn't care less. He turns away from God. There is no God. That's the attitude in America today. Unkelus says there's no such thing. You're just fooling yourself. You believe in God. When you're in a fox, there's no atheist in a foxhole. When the bombs are falling, all of a sudden, uh-oh, there's someone to pray to. What then does it mean? He breaks every rule in the book and he adds a word into the pasuk that it does not say. Dein midach leso, from fearing the Hashem Elok. That's what it says. And then it goes on to say, La'avoy, it goes on to worship es Elohei ha-goyim ha-heim, the gods of these nations, the almighty dollar. Gods comes in many different forms and shapes and sizes. You worship the movie theaters, you worship the movie stars, you worship the baseball players, you worship political agendas like BLM. It's unbelievable. How could people, they worship these agendas. They worship these things. That's called Avodah Zarah. L'machach to go, l'miflach, to worship. Yos to'avos amemaya. The errors, the mistakes. See, in Avodah Zarah is always called an error. It's a mistake. It's a mistake, and that's a very general term which really appeals very much in our generation, where we don't have any Yetzirah to bow down to a piece of wood. But the world is making a lot of mistakes. They're putting their faith and confidence in themselves, in their economy, in technology, and they're not willing to acknowledge that everything comes from Hashem. This is an error. And when we get caught up in this, it's a problem. Ho'inun, saying Dilma is b'choy. Now here comes the next part. There is b'choy. Maybe there is amongst you gevar. Now here comes something very interesting. Be'yesh b'chem shoresh poyer roish v'lano. And how does he translate this? Meharher chatin oy zodoin. Talking over here, there's something over here, something very, very extreme. He totally didn't translate the pasuk literally, like Rashi said, Kolaymar. And he said the word Shoresh and Poire. He took the two words and he converted two words into one word. Also, extremely rare for the Targum to do this. Every word in the Torah is sacred, and to combine two words into one is not common. Shoresh Poire. He says it means meharher. He's thinking, a hirhur. He has a thought in his mind of chatin oy zodoin. Now chatin means inadvertent sins, an avera that's done b'shoigeg, by accident, and zodoin means an avera that's done b'mezid. Targum is doing more than Rashi, who totally ignored these words, and he's saying the word roish means an avera that's done by accident, and v'la'ana, and he's thinking about doing an avera b'mezid. Now, that first of all, there are a lot of difficulties, because first, how does a person plan to do an avera b'shoigeg? That's an oxymoron. If the avera is done b'shoigeg, then that's not called your maharer. It's like you go to the Siyam HaShas, the Aguda, and the Siyam HaShas. At 5:30, we will have spontaneous dancing. Spontaneous dancing. At 5, it's on the schedule. Well, if it's on the schedule, then it's not spontaneous. Doesn't make it impossible. So here also, if you're being maharer, it's premeditated. There's no such thing as premeditated manslaughter. Doesn't make sense. Oxymoron. It's manslaughter. It's not premeditated. If it's premeditated, it's not manslaughter. Can't be. Can't not possibly be. And here it says both maharer, chatin oy zodon. So he obviously learned that Rosh, I have no idea what this means, why he did this, what this means. I can't find any explanation. But he's just saying that's what it means. Rosh is, it means b'shoigeg. I'm not so good. Go back to our technicality. How then does a person plan to do an aver b'shoigeg? Very simple. You plan to be lax in your observance of mitzvahs. And that mimela will lead to accidental averas. Every time a person does an aver b'shoigeg, there's an element of mezid. Because if it was completely beyond your control, it would be called an oines. An oines means you have absolutely no control over this. Shoigeg, the reason why you bring a korban when a person does, when you do an aver b'shoigeg, is because it's your fault. You should have been more careful. If you were more careful, this would not have happened. Every shoigeg has an element of premeditation, planning that it should happen. You don't bring a korban if it's an oines. If it was nothing I can possibly have done, then you do not bring a korban. You do not need kapara. And if you did a bit l'hachis b'mezid, then you do need kapar. Then that's a terrible avera. When a person does an avera, when a person is somewhere in the middle, every ashayig is somewhere really in the middle, and that's a very, and this is a very powerful revelation of the Targum. The Targum is mamish saying it explicitly. You maharher, which means you're thinking, you're planning to do an avera by accident. Contradiction? No. You're planning to be lax in your observance, which you know will lead into doing an avera by accident. If you text, if you make a deliberate decision that you're going to text while you drive, you make a decision, I'm going to always text when I drive. That decision, you know, somewhere down the line is fatal, is going to lead to an accident. So that's what it means over here. Yimahara chatin oy zodai. Okay, so we have a lot of kiddushim over here in this targum. Now we go to the next pasuk, which really is really very much related to this pasuk, and this is also a very powerful pasuk, because this pasuk talks about beracha. V'haya, it will be pasuk yitches b'shamay, when a person hears es the very ha'olah hazais. When he hears the words of this Allah, okay, and this Allah means the shuwa, we're going to be consistent in translating the word Allah to mean an oath, a shuwa. V'hisparech b'lvavoy le'mar, he'll say to himself, you know what, I'm not going to accept upon myself the oath, the shuwa, to enter into the covenant. And he will, now look at this word, this is a very fascinating word. You don't get this type of stuff elsewhere in the Torah. V'hisparech b'lvavoy le'mar. You bless yourself. Bless yourself. What kind of nonsense is that? A bracha, by definition, a bracha means someone else gives you a bracha. Yaakov and Esav were fighting over the blessings of Yitzchak. Why? Let them bless themselves. Let Yaakov bless himself and let Esav bless himself. What do you need Yitzchak for? The answer is no such thing. The very essence of a bracha is there's another party. There's another entity that gives you the blessing. There's a mevarech and a misparech. The one that gives the blessing, the one that receives the blessing. The kohanim give blessing and the yisrael receive blessing. And here a person is blessing himself. We have to define what this means. The levavoy in his heart, leimar, saying, shalom yihyali. That's another explosive term. What does it mean, peace? Ki bishrirus libi elech. What is the word bishrirus? The word shrirus means to see. Ale Yosef ben Poyras Yosef ben Poyras. Ale ben Poyras Yosef ben Poyras. Ale shur. Ale shur means to the eyes to see. He was delightful to look at. Ashurenu. Viloy ata, Bilam, Balak. No, Bilam said in the brachas, Ashurenu, I see something. But what I see is not going to occur now, it's going to occur b'achris hayamim. So the word bishurus means to see. Libi, what my heart sees. My heart sees something. And I'm going to go elech, I'm going to go where my heart tells me to go. And this will result in Laman Sifais. The word Sifais means to add, Harava, liquid, Es Hatzmea, to what is dry. Now the words literally in this Pasuk are extremely difficult to understand. Let's see Rashi in the Targum. Pasuk Yitches. He's a long Rashi. I want to finish it before 8 o'clock. Let's go very quickly. V'isparich b'lvavoy. Rashi over here is coming to tackle this very unusual expression of Baracha. There's a bracha b'levavai, l'shoin bracha, blessing. Yachshav b'libai, this fellow, he thinks in his heart. Bircha shalom la'atzmai, a blessing of peace. Instead of going to the kohanim and asking them, b'yosim l'cha shalom, he in his own heart, he thinks to give himself a blessing. Ridiculous, right? That's the nonsense of Avodah Zarah. Yachshay b'libay, bircha shalom li'atzmai, leimar, he says to himself, lo yivu'uni kilolos halalu, the curses will not come upon me. Now notice Rashi over here has incidentally taught us the word Allah, at least in this pasuk, means a curse. The dilemma that we've been grappling with the last 3 days is the word Allah a curse, or is the word Allah a Shavua? The Targum always translates the word Allah as a Shavua. Rashi was silent more or less until one Rashi we started today, Lefi Chachani Tzarech Lahashbiachem, which Rashi seemed to give away that the word Allah meant a Shavua. But now Rashi says, Lo Yivuni Klolos Halalu. And it says in the Pasuk as Divrei Ha'Allah Hazois. So Rashi seems that in this Pasuk, we're going back and forth in this Pasuk where it says the word Allah, it means a curse. Maybe in the Pasuk before, as Ha'Allah, it meant a Shavua. Can you do that? Can you be inconsistent? Why not? Not the first time. There it meant a Shavua, and here it means a curse. It says Kemat Beferish here, Lo Yivuni Klolos Halalu. These curses will not come upon me. Ach shalom yali. Then Rashi tells us the grammatical form of the hisparech. Okay, that's bin nidira shavya. Okay, balas. And I don't know what this means. He'll bless himself. An old French word, which it's probably very worthy to know what that old French word means, because it would probably shed light on what Rashi really means to say. K'may v'hiskalach v'hispalel. You will shave yourself and the hispalel, and you will praise. Now, again, I don't know what he's. I can translate the words, but there's something a lot more going on. It means to do to yourself, to do hispalel, not mispalel. Mispalel means you pray to Hashem. Hispalel means you pray to yourself. You pray to yourself and you shave a hiskalach, v'yeshanega lo yigaleach. You shave off your own hair. You will bless yourself. Instead of going to another fellow and asking, you please give me a blessing, you bless yourself. And what do you say? Bishrirusli be'elech, b'marosli be. The word bishrir means to see what my heart sees. Kemo ashurenev lekarof, like what Bilam said, I see but not now. Kolaymar. Kolaymar, the magic word which means I'm going to tell you over here now something that is not literal. I will do whatever I want. Whatever my heart tells me to do, I will do. It will not be filtered through my mind. If you do this, what's the result? Hashem says, Rashi is tying this pasuk to the previous pasuk. The word suffice means to add. Rava means liquid. Liquid is equivalent to a shoigeg, an accident. Rashi here is tying himself to the Targum, what we said before, that Rosh is an accident, inadvertence, and Lana is bemezid. And the word Rava means wet. What does the word wet mean in this context? That I'm going to add to you punishment in addition to what you have done inadvertently. So Rashi explains. What used to be, you did an Avera, and I took you to a Din Torah. And what did you say? Oh Hashem, it's not, it was an accident. It will never happen again. It was inadvertent. Okay, I forgive you. You're right. It was not premeditated. Then they take you back to court. You did the same Avera b'mezid. And it's an incredible Rashi. And Rashi says, wow, when they take you to court and they get you for doing an Avera b'mezid, they open up the old files. Did it ever happen in your life that you did this same exact Avera by accident? And if the answer is yes, then guess what? We're going to reopen the case. Even though in the past you did the Avera by accident and the decision was made that we're going to forgive you because it's only an accident, what do you want from me? I carried on Shabbos in the street. I had in my pocket my wallet. I forgot. Today is Shabbos. What do you want from me? Okay, you're exempt. And then a month later, you carry in the street your wallet, b'mezid. You know what you're doing. Oh, you carried b'mezid? So that's a revelation, that when you carried your wallet in the street a month ago by accident, it was no accident. It really was amazing. Even though you can claim it was an accident, if what's happening now is a revelation of what was deep down in your subconscious thoughts a long time ago, therefore when that happens, Hashem is forced, you're forcing Hashem's hand to punish you, not just for the mazid, but to go back and punish you even for the shoygeg. And that's what the pasuk means, laman, if you act this way, sefois harava, I'm going es hatsnea, I'm going to have to add to your punishment. Punishment for the rava, the accidental sins, are going to be punished on top of the sins that were done b'mezid. And the word rava refers to an accident. The word smeya refers to a mezid. Why is that? So Rashi explains. Oh, look at that. Look at that. How often does Rashi say, Unkelis. Rashi, 99% of the time, says to Unkelis, have a nice day. You're dead wrong. And here Rashi, all of a sudden Rashi over here has respect for Unkelis. Mazel tov. V'chentik Unkelis. Bedil, so that, le'oisofa, le'chato'e shalusa, the sins that are done by accident, al zidonusa, to the sins that are done b'mezid. And that goes back to the previous Unkelis that translated the words Roish as Chato'in, which by definition means an accident, and Lano as Mezid. And now Rashi explains that how in the world do these words mean Shoig and Mezid? Harava is Shoigik. Why? Shu Oise Ka'odam Shikur. Liquid here is a metaphor for Yayin. Too much wine, and it causes intoxication, and you shake, and you do sha'ose shaloi midas. When you're intoxicated, you don't, you know, your mind is not present. Hatzmeya, dry. You haven't had a drink the whole day. You're not intoxicated. Sha'ose. So why didn't you do the avera? I want to do it. Premeditated. Sha'ose midas uvetayva. Let's very quickly, we're out of time. Let's read the Targum very, very quickly. Pasuk Yitches Vihi, Vayihi b'mish me'ei yos piskamei moy masa hada. Now you see, the word moy masa means an oath. Moy masa does not mean a curse. There is clearly a disagreement between Rashi and Unkelis as to the word Allah, curse, versus Shavua. Rashi said all curses, klolos. He said the word klolos. You can't deny that. And he says the word shvua, hada, v'chashev bilibei lemeimar. I don't need to take a shvua. I do not need to take an oath to enter in the covenant because I may go the wrong way. I don't care. I'll do whatever I want anyway. Lemeimar shlom yeheli arei because beharhur libi ano ozel. Now here is an explosive Unkelis. Unkelis says that the word brocha means beharhur, the thoughts. And that's a real shake-up. And what does it mean to bless? When you give a person a blessing, think about it. It's a very fascinating idea. When you give a person a blessing, what are you giving him? You're giving him money? You go to a Rebbe, and you ask the Rebbe for a bracha. What, the Rebbe gives you money? You give him money. He doesn't give you money. It's a one-way street. You give, you don't get. You don't get any money. He gives you a bracha. What is he giving you? What is he giving you? He gave you something tangible? He didn't give you anything tangible. He gave you a thought. He was maharer. It's all in the mind. I pray to Hashem. I have a machshava. You move your lips and you say, Hashem, give this fellow blessing. A bracha is a hirhur, a thought. It's remarkable how accurate then that this pasuk is. Rashi is struggling. Rashi is like in a straitjacket, trying to get Mizborech. A bracha. What bracha? What bracha? Doesn't make any sense. Bracha, money. What the word bracha here is not, you go bracha. Yeah, you give yourself a bracha. Rashi is taking the word bracha to mean something tangible almost. And that's why Rashi, you see how he's like Houdini. He's trying to get out of a straitjacket over here, Rashi. He struggles with the words. He say this, he say that. The Targum, in one word, he wipes away a whole page of Rashi. You're maharer in your thought. Because what is the true definition of blessing? The Kohanim, Koy Sevorech Es B'nei Yisrael. What, you, when Yom Tov is over, do you have more money in your pocket? They gave you something? What did they give you, the Kohanim? They were maharher. They had thoughts. When they said the words, they were thinking about you, your blessing. That's the real meaning of bracha. So now, in this context, it's perfect. A person here, he thinks in his mind, I don't have to accept upon myself the shvuah and the bris. I'll do whatever I want. Your thought, Unkelis, wiped away a whole Rashi with one word. He taught us the real meaning of the word bracha means a thought. And there, you don't have to go and struggle with Rashi and make this whole long drasha. Okay, further in the Rav Yechabi Libi Lememar, Shlomi Yeheli, Are Bahar Libi Ano Ozel, I'll do. Now here's where you get into the Targum is gets himself into trouble. He translates the word bishrirus also to mean hear her. Oh, wait a minute. You can't do that in the same pasuk. You can't say the word bracha means a hearer and then say shrirus means a hearer. Raj, he said the word shrirus means what you see. What you see. My heart sees something, that's where I'm going. I'm going where I see. It means to see. Targum, no. There's no seeing here. It's a machshava. But we already said a machshava. How many machshavas could you have here in this pasuk? Obviously, there are different types of machshavas, different types of hirhurim. Okay, let's finish the targum. V'chashdu b'lumei machshav ani yehli arei behar libi ano ozel b'dil le'oisafa le'chato'ei. This Rashi explained the Rava and the Tzmeya. He doesn't even bother to translate it literally. He just goes for the drush. The chato'ei shalusa, the inadvertent sin, shalusa means a mistake. Al zeidonusa. Question, why here does he need to add the word shalusa? Before, when he said the inadvertent sin, he said the chatin. Here he says the chato'ei is another whole word. He has a whole word, shalusa. I don't know. A lot of questions, but at least I think we learned something. A lot of chidushim here today we came across in this Rashi Unkelis. A lot of very good yisoides about life. All right, we'll stop here. Everybody have a wonderful evening. Be well. Thank you for learning with me. See you tomorrow.
Dr. Vilna, how are you? Long time no see.
Dr. Wilner, are you there? Dr. Wilner, Rabbi Wilner? You have to ask the person to turn off the I know, but he has to turn off the mute. The mute.
It's a mute and the camera's closed. You can't open the camera?
He took off the mute. He's there. He's speaking to us. Dr. Wilner, Rabbi Dr. Wilner, how are you? Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem, how are you? Oh, now we can see you. We can see and we can hear you. We can see you and we can hear you.
You look like a rabbi there with that beard. You can open a shtiebel.
What do you say? I can open a shtiebel. Wow. Not so fast. How you run?
You're sharper than ever.
It looks good, man. You look good.
If you know that it's not kedai, open the shtiebel.
How do you feel? You feel fine? How do you feel?
Oh, Hashem.
Okay, we have to say Baruch to your daughter also.
What?
You have to say Baruch to your daughter too, right?
Yeah, believe me, I do.
Your grandson has a big job this year, Nachman. Nachman has a big job in the yeshiva. Nachman does all the seats. Nachman, he's in charge of all the seats in the yeshiva. The seats, the seating, the seats for the Yomim Noiroyim. So this year, he has a very big job.
Yeah, why?
It's very complicated this year. Very complicated.
Yes, to make MCs between everybody.
Wow. Nachman, he knows everyone there. He knows there are 1,500 people, and he knows everyone's seat by heart. He knows every single person's seat. You tell him your name, he tells you Baal Peh. Table 401, seat D. He knows every single person's seat by heart. I once asked him my seat, he told it to me Baal Peh. He told me my seat, my table number, and my seat at the table, by heart. It's remarkable. But this year, he has a very big job this year. This year is a big mess.
Why?
Corona.
Corona.
Corona changes everything. Nothing's the same.
Corona.
All right.
Okay, good night, gentlemen.
Good night, be well, everybody. Say good night, take care. Good night, be well, all the best. Best regards. Be well. Take care. Amen. Be well. Heshi, good night, Heshi. Take care. Thank you for coming.